Allow me to go to my presence in the assemblies of the Master of Martyrs and tawassul to the Master of Martyrs during these days is more important than all matters, even the mustahabbat. Then Sayyid Ali Qadhi continues, even were it to lead to the abandonment of namaz-e-shab, the 11-unit nafila prayer, even if it were to lead to the abandonment of the nafila prayer, the 11 units, salat al-layl, morning ceremonies, azadari, are more important. It has priority. And he would say, so Allama is saying that, the late Qadi would say, quotes, one can, so this is very important because how are we benefiting from the morning ceremonies? It has to be to a level that the effects surpass that of Salat al-Layl, to justify the abandonment of Salat al-Layl. But sometimes Salat al-Layl may be done tastelessly. It said that Shin would do Salat al-Layl every night. So we have to be careful with the morning ceremonies, that it has some effect. And inshallah will speak about what the effect should be. And Allama said, and he, the late Qadi, would say, one can attain to one's destination or final goal through the Master of Martyrs and tawassul to his eminence, Abul Fadl, is the gateway and key to this door. This has to be opened up. Though I want to open it in this session, we have to go through a number of preliminary points, but the gateway. So to reach our final goal, first of all, what is that final goal? It's not getting a big house or a big car or a good job. To get to that final goal, we do it through Imam Hussein alayhi salam. But the gateway to Imam Hussein, he says, it's His Eminence Abul Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salam. And there the quote ends. So here the caliber of Hazrat Abbas alayhi salam, as the being entitled the door, the gateway to Imam Hussein, this, we have to understand what does this mean. This has to be opened up a bit. These are not very light words to take it seriously. And in general, the martyrs of Ashura, they all reached a very high position. They were very noble people. But right now, we want to try and answer in this next 1 or 2 days to see what is it in Abbas that made him the gateway. That's one issue that has to be solved. And then how can we today translate that reality, the answer to the first question, how can we translate it today in today's age, and so we act Abbas-like, otherwise, what's the point? All this time, it was just a historical Abbas we were crying for. Remember the first time to explain what mourning should be. So, here, this was just quotes from noble figures. Next, I want to, these are all preliminary points I'm just mentioning. They may seem a bit random and haphazard, but during the next 1 or 2 nights, then they all, inshallah, click eventually. So the important part of the statement was that to reach our final goal, it's through the Master of Martyrs, the gateway to the Master of Martyrs is Abbas alayhi salam. Just have that in mind. Ayatollah Behjat rahmatullah alayhi has a number of quotes I want to mention and share with you, given in his speeches, in his Dars-e Kharij. He said, His Eminence, the Master of Martyrs, Sayyid al-Shuhada, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, with his free will, chose to tolerate all those burdens, martyrdom, and his own family's captivity. After all, it was constantly offered to His Eminence, even on the day of Ashura, quotes, choose between victory over the enemy, a physical battle victory, between that and liqa'ullah, meeting Allah. Choose. This liqa'ullah, we have to try and, it's a key, it's an important code. So it says, even on the day of Ashura, it was said to Imam Hussein, choose between victory, if you want, we can give you the victory very quickly over the, let's say, 30,000 or whatever number. Or liqa'ullah and the promise and covenant that was made with Allah. He, Imam Hussein, however, chose freely those sublime stations, meaning he chose liqa'ullah, not a physical victory. Somewhere else, Ayatollah Behjat has said, Allah knows what they saw, referring to the Shuhada of Karbala. Only Allah knows what they saw. Hazrat Qasim says in relation to dying, sweeter than honey. Is this phrase a joke? Ayatollah Behjat says. Because people may cry when they hear the phrase that dying is sweeter than honey, becoming a martyr is sweeter than honey. They cry, but that cry has nothing under it. Otherwise, the reality would be translated in real life today. We cannot apprehend their stations and degrees and what had happened, what they were seeing and what they were perceiving. Suffice it to say that there are traditions mentioning that Imam Hussein alayhi salam showed them, his companions, their stations in the hereafter. He showed them their stations. For some of them, it was the final straw when they saw the station that they had. And thereafter, they couldn't rationalize the reality which they saw. When you witness a reality which surpasses the aqli immaterial realm of existence, you can't rationalize it anymore. And then Ayatollah Behjat gives one companion as an example. He says, when the traditions speak of Abis, one of the companions, speak of Abis unclothing himself and removing his armor on the day of Ashura in the battlefield in front of the enemy. This is for sure not an easy matter, and it's not an ordinary thing. He wanted to show the enemy that this is Ayatollah Behjat saying this, that Abis wanted to show the enemy that they, the companions, have freely chosen the path of martyrdom through values and doctrine. That's why they choose martyrdom, because of their doctrine. Not through coercions, threats, constraints, having no choice in the matter, involuntariness, being embarrassed, etc., etc. Rather, he is saying, this is our value system, and we shall fight and be killed with courage, love, voluntarily, and we have no fear of martyrdom. Whilst in the enemy camp, the poor and destitute Omar Saad was locked and captivated by the land of Rei, as he was promised that land, was he to go ahead with ending this massacre. So these are things that we have to incorporate in our lives. I'll speak more about how we have to do that, but if you want to be Hosseini Abbasi, we're too comfortable, especially under such a tyrannical government, which is killing your brothers in Pakistan, Kashmir, in Yemen, in Palestine. Just imagine Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam said, I could die of embarrassment with what they did to the Jewish lady with her ankle bracelet. But we're here, no embarrassment whatsoever. They're killing our brothers. And we're just sitting there doing nothing. Wallahi, we have to answer thereafter. We have to do something. If all you do is just getting a better job, better car, better house, you've lost the plot. It's better sometimes not to listen to words such as this, because it is, you say you didn't know what your duty was. But the duty is heavy. And then Ayatollah Bahjat, another part, he says, His Eminence Abu al-Fadl, two, with all the sacrifices made, desired to show them, the enemy, and make them understand that the love of Allah and the love of Allah's disciples is another matter altogether, whereby tolerating any form of burden, difficulty, and grief for reaching this way is easy and sweet for them. Okay. Now here, there are two key words in these quotations. One was liqa'ullah, that liqa'ullah has to always be chosen, and that's the destination that we are aiming for, meeting Allah. Now what does that mean? We have to try and open that up. And also burdens. Burdens is a crucial part of life. And this world is filled and intertwined with burdens. It just needs the eye of insight, the eye of foresight, to realize the burdens around one. God forbid, because burdens are everywhere. The world is intertwined with them. It's surrounding us moment to moment. It's the reality of the dunya. If you live a life comfortably, you're blind. No one is saying we pray for burdens. We don't pray to encounter burdens. That's not very normal. But the eye of foresight and insight, if it's truly seeing, you should realize what the burdens are around you. And if you don't, you're blind. For example, living under a taghuti system comfortably and saying, Alhamdulillah, I have a good job. My children go to good school. I'm doing this, that. Yes. And for 30, 40, 50 years, you're here. And then you're going to die and we'll just be buried in the local cemetery, yes, you've lost a lot. You were blind all this time. You didn't realize what the burdens were, and you didn't put the effort to fight those burdens. And most certainly, you weren't equipped to fight those burdens. In the Holy Quran, there's one or two verses where one of the martyrs before the revolution in Iran, by the name of Saidi, and actually his son is now the Friday prayer leader in Qom, he wrote this verse in his will. He said, read this verse out in my will for people to take note. The point being that our journey to liqa'ullah, our journey to tawheed and meeting Allah has to be actualized through the encountering of burdens and then successfully encountering them, successfully reacting to them. Now, a burden isn't, oh, I failed my exam, or I wish I had a better car or a bigger house. That's the dunya. Yes. The burden is where you're fighting against taghut and anyone that compromises la ilaha illallah. That's a burden. Because that's attacking the core doctrine that we have. Whatever compromises your la ilaha illallah, it has a burden. Now, it may be a government, maybe a person, maybe a system. And just think, all your life you never recognized what it was. And you are living under that anti-la ilaha illallah system all your life. But you were comfortable. There was no enemy you fought. You never demonstrated against anyone. You never put your life at risk. You made no sacrifices for anyone. That's a waste. You've wasted your life. Without a doubt, you would have been on the enemy camp 1400 years ago. For example, Imam Hussein alayhi salam said, whoever's in debt, don't go away. Don't join this caravan. In the beginning, there were hundreds, if not thousands, who were joining Imam Hussein alayhi salam. But during the way, they kept on dispersing and leaving. Those 72 people, or a bit more, a bit less, they were very refined people. Said, if you're in debt, this is not the place for you. Because when you're in debt, your tawheed is compromised. For example, you get a loan, let's say it's a halal loan. Sometimes it's a haram loan, that's game over, but sometimes it's a halal loan. Although many people, they look for the exceptions that the marajah give and they base their whole life on a loophole that the manager may give in order to get a loan from who? A taghuti system. Look, they're basing their whole lives on it. Their livelihood is based on such movements. Because when you borrow, your tawheed is compromised. You've borrowed from someone. You're relying on Allah less. It's automatic. You're not doing anything haram. But the tawheed of these 72 were very special. Muslim ibn Aqil wasn't part of the 72. He wasn't buried with Imam Hussein either. He was buried in Kufa. To be buried with Imam Hussein, it's very special. Muslim ibn Aqil, in his will, he mentioned that I'm in debt. Give this much to this person, give this much to that person. Hur wasn't buried with Imam Hussein too. Although the Zahiri, that narrative is, because he was so mighty warrior, his tribe's people came and took him where they didn't chop his head off, and they took him in his original tribe and buried him there. Out of respect, for example, as a warrior, but the botany side is something else. He couldn't be buried with Imam Hussein. Those 72 are very unique people. There's a philosophy to earn that honor to be buried with Imam Hussein. Anyway, back to the will of Ayatollah Saidi, I think it's chapter 155 onwards in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. That we will most definitively test you with fear, hunger, and loss of, you know, be it life, be it your crops, be it your amwal, your wealth. We're most definitively going to test you. Then it says, وَبَشِّرْ الصَّابِرِينَ, give good tidings to the patient ones. الَّذِينَ, those who, إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Those who, when they encounter a burden, the way they react to the burden is توحيد, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. A humanist may also have a burden and react to it calmly. It may be because of they have a calm temperament, they have a good hormonal constitution, they inherited patience from their parents or something inherited. And it's good, but it's a minimum. Islam wants you to react with burdens, not because you're by nature or by inheritance, a patient person. You have to do it through Tawheed. If you want to be a monotheist, it has to manifest like this. So if someone steals your money, someone may not be disappointed because they're calm people, they're patient people. And they'll go get their rights back, but they won't be disappointed because of their nature. That's of little value. I'm not saying it's empty, but it's something really little. Even the kuffar can do this. Sometimes when they steal your money, the reason you don't become disappointed because you say all wealth is Allah's. This Tawheed reality has been incorporated into your heart. You truly believe that it was never yours. It was Allah's. Then therefore you don't become disappointed. That's our value. That's Tawheed. That's Islam. Now you're growing. You're elevating now. When you encounter burdens like this, someone dishonors you, someone disrespects you, you believe it is that honor only Allah gives it, only Allah takes it. And therefore, if someone swears at you or disrespects you, you don't become disappointed at all. Not because you inherited the good genes of your parents or by nature, your hormones or substance, you're very calm people. You won't be grown like that. Not because you're a humanist. Because of Tawheed, because you believe that only Allah gives honor and grants honor, no one else. And only Allah takes it. And with all the names of Allah, all spiritual ills, when you go to a spiritual doctor with a spiritual ill, that doctor has to see your lack of Tawheed in which name of Allah is the problem. That's how they sort it out. Where are you lacking with respect to which name of Allah are you lacking? So they see what the problem is. Sometimes they say someone hurt me, or they stole this from me, or they did that to me. And then that name has to be incorporated into one's heart. And here, like this, one grows. Because the patience they acquire through the burden was purely through Tawheed. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We only say this when someone dies. And we say it very indifferently. Nothing is happening inside us when we say it. And we only apply when someone dies. This is a daily slogan. especially when you encounter burdens. If you don't encounter burdens, you're blind. And if you're blind, your tawheed will never flourish, because the flourishing of tawheed is through the medium of burdens. So this Ayatollah Saidi is mentioning this in his will, saying, read this will to his inheritors. He said, put this will, read it constantly. And one realizes that over time, it's like a synergistic, a synergy between burdens, your tawheed gets higher, higher burdens come, and you react with your tawheed again. As your tawheed increases, you're now much able, much more stronger now to cope with burdens. Someone like Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah, he's a true model today. The burdens he would undergo was of a very high nature. Our burdens are something very little. We are still drowned in the petty things, and we call them burdens. Before the revolution in Iraq, when Maraji were bowing down to the Ba'athi police of Iraq out of fear, when they would enter a mosque, Imam Khomeini would remain seated. He wouldn't rise or raise himself or give any respect to such people. No, he's not scared of anyone. And they were true burdens all his life. He was ready to sacrifice his life. So these burdens are important. A life without burdens will inhibit your tawhidi growth. That's one preliminary point that one has to understand. And therefore, we see that because of this reality, is something which they call a jihadi lifestyle. A jihadi lifestyle. Now it depends what your profession is. If you're a doctor, a jihadi lifestyle would entail going to the impoverished places where Muslims are truly suffering and they have no access to medical care, and you offer your services. If you're an architect or a builder or whatever, you go to places where they don't have the means and you help them to build houses, for example. If you're a scholar, you have to go and give the truth to the people. And the truth is two things. It's in the Quran. Propagating la ilaha illallah and fighting against the taghut. In many places of the Quran, it's all based on these two. All the Imam's activities were always pivoted on two things: propagating the religion and fighting against oppression. This is something which is important. So, our lifestyle has to be a jihadi lifestyle. And a jihadi lifestyle encounter many burdens, because we have to fight against those burdens. That would be good. It doesn't matter what your profession is, but you act on a par with what your profession is. The intention is important. Okay, I'll stop here, and inshallah, we'll continue with the notion of Lighaullah and then see what is it in the Abbasi protocol, which makes him the gateway, and for us, inshallah, the gateway to the Master of Martyrs. وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله